Amen. Well, tonight we're going to dive into another truth. And it's not going to be that long, I promise, because it's real simple. And as I said at the beginning, it's the truth about you. The truth about you. And it's not that this sermon is about you, it's about who's in you. And who is that? Jesus. All right, amen, Jesus. The truth about you, my take is this. And all through the Word, and when you're reading your Word and you're reading your Scriptures, it all points to Jesus. He truly is the way, the truth, and the life, and He truly is all things, everything He is. And tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about that. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy. Maybe I should get there first, huh? I did not have time to put these scriptures in to proclaim. I apologize for that. I'll try to go slow enough to allow you to write it down in any notes you want to take or whatever you want to do. In 1 Timothy, I'm going to go in chapter 4, and I'm going to look at something that we need to take for ourselves. Like I said at the beginning of service, tonight I really believe that God has an encouraging word for you to understand who you are, more importantly, who lives inside of you, and what that all means, and the truth about what that means for you, what that means for me. Amen? Amen. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want to look at verse 12. And I just want to read it. I said, don't let anyone think less of you. And I want to stop right there for a second. Don't let anybody think less of you. Because quite frankly, the person inside of you, the what's inside of you is bigger than anything. Yeah. Amen? So don't let anybody or anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say and the way you live and the way you love and your faith and your purity. And I want to use that scripture because I believe that the truth about you is that what is inside of you is bigger than anything on the outside of you. Yeah. And that what is inside of you should determine your course of action on the outside of you. And that you should not let anybody or anything or any devil or any liar or any person who wants to take anything from you let you believe that you're worth anything less than what God paid for you and what Jesus paid for you at the cross. Amen? It's easy for other people to look down upon you when you're, as Timothy would say, or as Paul would say, when you're young. It's easy to look down on people when they're young because you might have the thought or might assume that they don't know a whole lot, when just the opposite could be. They may know a whole lot. It's easy to look down on other people for what they say, the things they do. It's easy to look down at people for their past. It's easy to look down on people for their family or their family dynamics, their job. It's easy to look down on people for the way they walk or the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they tell stories, the way they live their life. It's easy to look down on people, but Christians and believers, what Paul is saying here is don't let anybody look down on you. Because who is on the inside of you is greater than anything else. And that's a real simple message that we need to understand. Don't let anybody look down on you because you think they're better than you. No, 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 no. What's on the inside of you is what's most important. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus on the inside of you. Talking about people is really, really, really easy. And we get pulled into that really, really, really fast. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Talking down to people or talking about people or looking at people or saying that, oh man, look at that, you know, look at them, look at them. That's really easy, and we get pulled into that very, 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 very easy. But you, the truth about you is that you are called to be different. Amen? You are called to be different. This is not a new theme, this is not a new message, but it's the truth that you are called to be a different person than the world. You are called not to look down on people. You're called not to let people look down on you. But you're called to be above that. Amen? You are called to be the example, as the word puts it. To live so others can see you, to live so others can see the way that you live, and you be the example for them. That you become the role model for them. Amen? Now, there are many, 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 what you would say, role models out there in the world, but there are very few good ones. As we can see, if you look at any of the young people and who they model after, you can see there's not very many good role models out there, so you be one. You be called to be one. I believe that the Word tells us that we live our lives the way that Jesus wants us to live, that you're called to be a role model. Amen. You, me, we, whatever it is you want to say, are called to be a role model. The truth about you is that you're a role model for this person over here. Amen? The truth is that you are a role model for your children. You are a role model for your cousins, for your aunts, for your uncles, for your father and mother. You can be a role model to anybody that you come in contact with, and you can be a good role model. Amen? And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter what job you work in. It doesn't matter where you're at. You're still called to be a role model because you're called to be the example. So we are called to live our life as an example, as it says here in 1 Timothy. Don't let anybody look less of you because you're young. Be an example. Jesus is on the inside of you. We just sang a song. He makes the darkness tremble, makes the fear leave, makes everything go. Jesus on the inside of you creates you to be a role model. Amen? So the question is then, is if you're wondering, you know, who am I, what am I doing? That's who you are. You are called to be a role model. You are called to be an example. You are the role model by the way you live, dress, eat, sleep, work, talk, act, drive, et cetera, et cetera. Every Christian, every person is really being watched like a hawk. And just look at, I take my kids, for example. They see everything that we do. And sometimes they copy the things that we do. Yeah. Now that's good and bad. Because we're not perfect people. But gosh darn it, they're watching us like hawks. And they're, what about? So we're called to be the role model so that when people see you at your job or at your school or whatever it is, that they can follow you, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So they can follow you as you follow Christ. Amen? Amen. And the only reason why people get misunderstood about their Christianity is because they're not forward with it. They're not out there with it. Some people might misunderstand who you are, but why are they misunderstanding who you are? Because maybe you're not putting the full picture. You're not painting the full picture of who you are as a role model. So there's confusion there on what you really are, or what we as Christians really are. Because maybe we keep a little bit under wraps. We don't want to fully embrace who we are. But we're called to be role models and all that that entails. Everything that a role model entails in the way you live, in the way you dress, in the way you eat, the way you sleep, the way you work, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you drive. in your speech, in your life, in your love, in your faith, and in purity, regardless of age, regardless of male or female, regardless of a job or no job, God can use you and be a role model. Amen? This is true because the Word says that you are to be an example. Amen? So in all the things that you do, let this be an encouragement to you that you can influence people. Just look at the role models the world has and how much they influence people and how much greater is what's inside of you to influence more people. But only if we live it out the way that Jesus wants us to live it out and be so out there that people see and understand the way you live, the way you dress, the way you eat, the way you sleep, the way you work, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you drive, the way you, whatever it is. The way that you live your life, live it out loud to be a role model, to be an example. For anyone who is questioning who they are, for anyone who is under you, so that they can follow Christ the same way that you're following Christ. Amen. You are an encourager. If we kept going and just went to verse 13, it says, until I get there, this is focus on reading scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. This is another way that you are called to be the real you. The truth about you is to be an encourager. To be a teacher. To those people who are looking to you for encouragement, looking to you to be a teacher, then teach them because that's what is on the inside of you. In verse 14, it says, do not neglect the spiritual gift that you've received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church lay hands on you. Again, your talents are your strengths given to you by our Father, given to you by God. Your talents are your strengths. And when I read this, I look at it from an athlete perspective. You know, Paul talks about athletes in Romans, how you train an athlete, you know, to train up your spirit like an athlete trains for whatever they're doing. And I think that when you train, you build up, right? When you're training, you're building up to get bigger, faster, stronger as an athlete. Well, if we build up our spiritual gift or gifts, then it becomes bigger, it becomes stronger, it becomes more prevalent in our lives, it becomes more powerful that is being used. But if we don't strengthen it and use it and basically go to the gym, so to speak, put ourselves in situations that it can be used, then we're not growing what's on inside of you and the true you. Your talents are strengthened when in use. Your talents are strengthened. Your gifts are strengthened when, even through the struggles, you continue to use your talents because they become bigger, stronger, and better. Amen? That's part of the true you. What your gifts are is what God has given to you. And just as Paul was talking about with an athlete and they train their body, we have to also train our spiritual gifts and build them up. And that's also why we're all here together, to help build each other up. You, the true you, the truth about you, we are encouragers to help encourage people grow in their spiritual gifts, to grow in their spiritual desires, to grow in their spiritual maturity. Along with all of these things, a role model to be and an encourager to be for those who are growing in the faith. Amen? Amen. Verse 15 is a scripture that tells about how we can be an example. And the true, you give yourself completely, give your complete attention to these matters, talking about your spiritual gifts. Don't neglect your spiritual gifts. Build them up and give your complete attention to these matters. And throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. Be an example so that everybody can see that you're working hard to do the things that you're supposed to be doing. And that could be an example for those who are looking on the outside. Amen? If we turn to the book of Titus. And we go to chapter 2 and read in verse 7 again. And you yourself, that's you, that's me, must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. And then it says, let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. When we live our life and when we teach people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're teaching people. So therefore, this, I think this word applies to you in the true you, in the sense that of who you are, is that since you're a teacher, because we all are going to try and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom, that Jesus came to save us, that then this scripture here that says, let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of what you're teaching. So then you must live your life as an example to reflect what it is you're teaching. We're called to be examples. We're called to live our life in specific ways so that people can see how good our lives are when we have Jesus controlling it on the inside. Amen? If we turn in our Bibles to Colossians, by moving from Timothy to Titus and then from Titus to Colossians, we're going to get into what it means. What does that mean, the real you? What does that mean to be changed? What does it say in the word that you will know a believer by their what? Love. By their love, by their fruits, right? By their fruits. Well, how do you know what tree it is if you can't see its fruits? How can we tell? How can people tell that you're a Christian if they can't see what it is that you're saying you are? How can I be an example if people can't see on the outside what it supposedly says I am on the inside? Do you understand what I'm saying? We are called, the true you is be called to be an example. An example of what? An example of what Jesus has on the inside of you to be evident on the outside. Amen? Colossians chapter 3. And I'm just going to read verses 1 through 17. And if you have your word, please follow along, whether it's in a digital device or whether it's on your Bible. In the chapter of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 17, it says, since you have been raised new with Christ. Some of us in here can say that we've been raised new with Christ. Amen? So since you have been raised new with Christ to a new life with Christ, then set your sights on the realities of heaven. It doesn't say set your sights on the realities of this world, but set your sights on the reality of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, for your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden with who? Hidden with Christ. And it says, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. And so in verse 5, then it gets into the true you. It gets into the real you. Now that you've been raised with Christ, and now that you are with Christ, one with Christ, now it tells us about the true you, and it talks about this example that we've been talking about. It says, so then put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. So it doesn't say continue on sinning, it's okay. It says that now since you've been raised with Christ, and you have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. It says then in verse 5, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you, and have nothing to do with all those things. I can read them all. It says sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. Greedy for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. In verse 6, it says, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now we know we're not of this world. Amen? Amen? You are not of this world. You are of Christ and in the heavenly realms. That's the world we are live. That's our reality. It says there in verse 1, if we jump back, it says, since you have been raised anew with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. So where do we live? Where should we live with our sights? In the realities of heaven. That's where our sights should be set. As an example, as in the realities of heaven, not in the realities of where we're physically living, but in the realities of where we live here in Jesus Christ and in heaven, amen? That's where we should set our sights at. And it says, because of these sins, verse 8, but now it's time to get rid of the anger, the rage, the malicious behavior, the slander, the dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Verse 10 says, put on, say, I'm going to put on. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So who are we trying to become? Like our Creator. But the only way to do that is to follow in His steps and put Him on. Amen? Is to put Him on. In verse 11, it says, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric or uncivilized, slave or free. And so it don't matter who you are. This is what it says. It doesn't matter who you are. And going back to what we started with 1 Timothy, it says, don't matter your age. Don't matter where you come from. Don't matter who you are, what color you are, what blonde hair, brown, whatever. It don't matter. Christ is all that matters. And in the end of verse 11, it says, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. So the real you, the truth about you, is that you are like Christ, because Christ lives in you. Amen? And that's the reality that we should live in. That's the reality that we should be living in as Christians, is that Christ is living on the inside. So whatever comes out of us should be Christ-like. That's the reality, with our eyes set on the things of heaven and not with our eyes set on the things of this earth. That's power. We sing songs, there's power in the name of Jesus. We sing songs about the power of Jesus. We sing songs about the healing power of Jesus. Well, where does that live now? Everybody should say, in me. So all that power that we sing about, that we talk about, that we read about in the Gospels about His healing power and in this power and that power, where does that all live now? If you are a believer in Christ and you have been changed by the Gospel of Jesus Christ, that all lives where? In you. In me. Amen? That's the truth. If we keep going, in verse 12 it says, since God chose you, say, God chose me. Say, God chose me. Who did He choose? Me. He chose you to be a holy people. He chose you to be the holy people He loves. That's the way that my New Living says. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And that goes back to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that we give, right? The fruit that we give out. And this goes back to what we always talk about is, what's on the inside of us? What we take in is going to come out. What we give out should be the fruit of Christ, the fruit of the heavenly kingdom that we have our sights on, so that other people can see what it is we have on the inside and that we can be the example. And they'll see our example and they'll want that example, because what comes out of us, the power of Christ, comes out of you. And when people get a hold of that, oh man, they're going to grab a hold of that and they're going to want that. They're going to yearn for that. They're going to, I need that. I want that. And they're going to come after you. They're going to come after Jesus. Amen. In verse 13, it says, make allowances for each other because we are supposed to forgive. It doesn't say that sinning is okay. It says that we need to make allowances and allow for forgiveness. Yeah. Right? There's a difference. It doesn't say that sinning is okay. Sinning is totally wrong. If we agree, amen, we agree. Sinning is totally off, right? But it says make allowances, which means we need to forgive. When somebody sins, we can forgive. Yeah. And then we need to move on. We need to correct. Correct by example. Forgive. And hopefully we can move on. And prayerfully we can move on to the new person. To the new person who will not be sinning then anymore. Because it says in the last part of verse 13, it says, because the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. See, I want you to say this to yourself. The Lord forgave me, so I can forgive others. I believe we need to make that confession a little bit more in our lives, probably. That we just need to forgive others because He has forgiven us. The forgiver lives on the inside of us. Do you see? So when we forgive, that's a fruit that comes out of us. And people can see by example who really lives on the inside of you. Amen? In verse 14 it says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. In verse 15 it says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. You see, we read this and we continue to talk about the truth about who lives inside of you. And the truth is, the reality is, we are supposed to live the way Christ lived, because Christ now lives inside of you. So what we did is by that confession and by the understanding of Christ being your Savior, is you died to yourself to live for Christ. So that means that we live and we become an example for Christ. And we live by Christ because Christ is on the inside. It says in verse 15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. So who is in charge of your heart? Let Christ be in charge of your heart, and don't let you be in charge of your heart. Because we talked about earlier in the sermon that our hearts can be deceived. But if Christ is in charge of our hearts, then what comes out of us is Christ and not me or not you. Amen. In verse 16, it says, then let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your life. Why should we let Christ fill your life? Because then it will flow out of your life as an example. The true you, the true us, is to be filled with Christ, to overflow with Christ, and let Christ flow out. I believe that's what we're talking about. Let your lives be filled with Christ, teaching and counseling each other with the wisdom Verse 16 here, in the last part of, in the middle of 16, it says, teach and counsel each other. That means encourage and uplift and teach people and let people know when they're sinning. Teach them about their bad ways and show them and teach them how to change their lives through Christ. And then it says, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that Mitch gives. It says, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom Calvin gives. With all the wisdom Nina gives. With all the wisdom he gives. He gives. Jesus gives. With all the counsel that Jesus gives. It says, and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And in verse 17, says that, and whatever you do or say, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Now, being a representative means that you are an example of who you are presenting or representing. We talk a lot of time in the church about we need to represent Christ. The only way we can represent Christ is if we are like Christ and with Christ. Therefore, we can represent him. And where does Christ live? In us, so that we can present, or if we're not doing a good job, we can represent Christ over and over and over again. Amen? The truth is, we are expected to live out our life with Christ. As Christ, in the image of Christ, in the image of God and all that he entails. Why? Because we were created in whose image? In his image. To do what? To be filled with Christ and then to present Christ or represent Christ. To be the example. The truth is this. The truth is that you are not your sin. The truth is that you are not your struggles. The truth is that you are not in poor health. The truth is that you are not limited. The truth is that you are not rejected. The truth is that you are not your achievements. The truth is that you are not fancy clothes. The truth is that you are not the low blows. The truth is that you are not your highs. The truth is that you are not of this world. The truth is that your identity is your Savior's identity. You are like Christ. That is the truth. That is who we're called to be. The truth is, when we go through the Word, and when I go through the Word, all I see is that Christ lives in you. All I see is that the power of Christ says, go do this, and Christ in you. I will be with you. I will be in you. I will help you. I will talk to you. I will get you through the tough times. I will be your need. I will be your peace. I will be your joy. The truth is that we are with Christ, and Christ is with you. Therefore, we are inside Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the truth about it, is that when we present ourselves, and if we get out of ourselves like the Word says to do, and let our lives be filled and let our hearts be filled with Christ, then we are then Christ, if you understand what I'm saying. Amen. The truth is that if somebody ever told you that you're a loser, that's obviously not true. Somebody said that you're not capable, that's obviously not true. Somebody say you're too young, that's not true. Somebody say you're too old, that's not true. Somebody say you're not smart, that's not true, because that's not you. Somebody say you're too whatever, not true. The truth is that you are a part of Jesus. And the truth is that Jesus is a part of you. Say, I am a part of Jesus, and Jesus is a part of me. Now, your identity, the truth about you, the truth about me is that we are our Savior, and our Savior is us. We let Him fill our hearts and fill our lives, and then we need to live that out in all that that looks like, in all that that entails, in all the gifts that He's given you, and all the things that He's told you to do and to be and to live and to be like. It's all about Him. It's all about representing Christ and doing what He has given you to do, the gifts that He has given you to build yourself up in those, and then to build each other up around those things so that we can, as one body, represent Christ in the best way we can. Amen? I don't like to think about, I don't know, anybody ever seen like Voltron? Or, no? Okay. Power Rangers? Or is it Power Rangers? I know. Transformers? I don't know anything older than that. But when you have pieces that are individual, and then they can all come together to form one great warrior. You follow me? And that's what we're talking about. And that's how I think about Christians, is that we are all these separate pieces, right? And we all have these special things and different colors and different weapons and different spiritual gifts as our weapons. But when we come together, man, we pack a punch. Amen? When we come together as a whole, as one body, we ought to understand that we come together with the gifts that we have to create this huge, huge warrior for Jesus. Because we are all a part of Jesus. We are all a part, right? And we all have these gifts, but we all need to use the gifts that Jesus gave to us so that when we come together, we can be as powerful as Jesus says we are. Amen?
Yeah.
That's the true you. That's the true you. You are, and I have this list of things, and if you give me a few minutes, we might even end early. The truth is this. Genesis 1:27, you are made in the image of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. Colossians 2:10, you are made whole in Christ. Amen. In Romans 8:37, you are more than a conqueror. Amen. John 1:12 says, you are a child of God. Ephesians 2:10 says, you are a masterpiece. Doesn't matter what anybody tells you. The God that created you said, you are a masterpiece. You are His masterpiece. In Romans chapter 8, verse 30, said, you are called, you are justified, and you are glorified in Him. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, you are adopted into God's family. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, you are redeemed and forgiven. In Romans 8:39, it says, you are loved. If anybody's ever been told that nobody will love you, that's wrong. You are loved. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, you will never be alone. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, you are confident in Christ and you are free in Him. In 2 Corinthians 3:12, It says you are bold in Christ. Amen. I need some boldness. I need to remember that I am bold through Him. Psalms 139, verse 14, it says that you are wonderfully made. I love that if you put that together with other things we've been talking about, it says you are made in the image of God. You are His masterpiece. And if you put that all together, you are a wonderful masterpiece in the image of God. I love that. In Deuteronomy 12:4, it says you are victorious. You are victorious over all things. In John 14:16, it says you have the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:7, and what we're saying here is you are not fearful. You are not a fearful people. We are a bold people, a strong people, a confident people, not a fearful people. In Romans 8, 17 and 18, it says, you are secure. You are secure. In Romans 5, 1, it says, you have peace in Him. The truth is, I believe that you, me, we all need to start being who we are. Yeah. We need to start being who you really are. All of these things. And we need to stop being what the world says we are. Weak. Secluded. We need to start being who God said you are. We need to start being what the Word says you are. Confident, bold, chosen, a conqueror, justified, glorified, redeemed, forgiven, loved, wonderfully made, powerful. Amen? Amen. It's time to start being who you truly are. And it's time for us, it's time for me, it's time for you to be encouraged to be who you truly are. A man of God. A woman of God. A man full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of Jesus Christ. A woman full of the power of Jesus Christ, full of the glory of God, full and bold and powerful beyond anything what we even think about. Full of it. We are full of it. You are full of it. If you know what I mean, you're full of it. Amen. It's true. It's true. It's time to be full of God. It's time to be full of Jesus, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, full of Jesus, and let it just pour out. Let it just flow from you. Time to be bold. It's a calling. It's a calling to be out, to be powerful, to be out there to speak and to say and to lay hands and to heal the sick and to heal these things and to all these things happen. It's a call to be out there. It's an encouragement that you are what Jesus says you are and that you can do what Jesus says you can do and that you can be all that He says you can be. Amen. And I like that because we talk about be all you can be in the what? In the army, right? Be all you can be in the army? Well, what army are we in? The army of God, right? Be all that you can be. Be all that you are. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word, and we thank You for the encouragement that it gives us to go out and be who we are meant to be. We thank You, Lord, for who You've created us to be, and we know it's time to step up into who You made us to be. And Lord, we just thank You and we just continue to bask in Your glory and to work with You and to step out in Your favor and to step out in Your umbrella and to step out in Your strength and be who we're called to be. And I just pray a blessing and a boldness and a spirit of God just to flow through these people to be who they're called to be, their true selves, powerful in their spiritual gifts You've given to them, to work with their spiritual gifts and to build and to strengthen the gifts You've given to them to be called and to be who you call them to be. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. And we said, amen.